You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. We keep you informed. We keep you engaged. We keep you entertained. We do it every week while we talk about the Montreal Canadiens, and it's super fun. We're super glad that you are here with us, even in the depths of summer, because we are here every week, and we're glad you're here with us every week. My name is Amy Johnson, and I'm going to be your host for today's show, which is episode 358 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. This week's episode titled Doc Hudson and the Power Play. Habs fans want answers. Oh, yes, they do. In fact, you've been telling us that you want answers to some of your burning Montreal Canadiens questions, and we are going to do just that for you today. I'm going to tell you about that a little bit more in just a moment, but first, let me welcome into the studio my co-host, who is our editor-in-chief and founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens, and people have questions, Rick.
They want answers. They're demanding answers.
Demanding answers.
They're impatient. They're restless. They want...
we're officially at that point of summer where everyone's like, okay, it's been nice, it's been summer,
here.
Now yeah. It's the heat is enough, and let's play hockey now.
Yeah, let's get this... Or at least have some clarity to some of the questions that are top of mind.
Yeah.
Roster questions, there's questions about Kirby Dach, of course, Lane Hudson, Jaden Struble. What's going on with the power play? There's lots of questions, and we haven't done a Rocket Sports mailbag since sometime in May.
Yeah.
So it's we're due, and we've been collecting up questions over the last couple of weeks, and
is one of them.
Maybe it is.
Just to give you a quick rundown of what you can expect on today's show, of course, as always in our first segment, we're going to kind of go over the week in review, get you up to speed on any Habs news that has come out, do a brief prospect report on Canadiens prospects, and touch on some NHL general league news or highlights. Then in our second segment, that's when we're going to get into our big topic of the week. And yes, this week it is the fact that we have a Habs mailbag episode, which means we have been collecting the questions that you've been sending in. And you're demanding answers about what the roster, you know, is going to look like and who's going to have what responsibilities. And we've got a lot of great questions from all of you that we are going to cover today and give you our perspective on and try to give you as much clarity as we can. We have a terrific question for all of you this week, Canadiens Connection fan question of the week that you're going to want to stay tuned for. And then, of course, in the third segment, that's when we get to turn the tables and we get to pick the best answers and comments and responses that we've gotten from all of you throughout the course of the week in response to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. And then we read those best responses in our third segment. So we've got some great ones coming for you this week as well. Just as a quick side note before we start, if you do want to ever pose a question that could be included in a future mailbag episode, or you have a comment or a suggestion, or you want to answer the Canadians Connection question of the week in the hopes that your response is one of the ones we select to read on the following week's show. How do you get in touch with us? Well, the way to do that, if you're watching on YouTube, just leave a comment down in the comment section. If you are on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, you can drop us a reply or a DM at Habs Connection. That's the handle you want to use on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can simply just send us a text. We have a dedicated text line here at Rocket Sports, and that number is 5853-ROCKET. Again, that's 5853-ROCKET. So,
and just a tip, if you're sending a question or comment by text, you'll have a better chance of it being aired, read on the air, if you include your name, just your first name is fine, and your location where you are writing from. As you'll see in our responses to the mailbag in the second segment, most of those are going to have a name and a location attached to them.
Yes, because we love... As we say, Habs fans are everywhere around the world. And so it's usually pretty fun for people to hear the far and wide places that Habs fans are listening or watching from and rooting for the same team from. So let's first start with roster updates for the Canadians. As we know, this first item is one that we're going to get more in depth with in our second segment. So we're just going to kind of lay the facts out here and we'll talk about it more in the second segment. But we know that Jaden Struble, defenseman for the Canadiens, has completed his 2-year entry-level contract. He's become an RFA, a restricted free agent. Canadiens gave him a qualifying offer. And Struble has elected for arbitration. And we now know that the date of the arbitration hearing for Struble and the Canadiens is August 3rd, which is next Sunday, not this weekend, but next weekend. So again, we'll talk about this more in the second segment, but just the fact that, yes, Struble has selected arbitration. They could reach a settlement before that, but if they don't, the arbitration hearing is set for Sunday, August 3rd.
Most of that we knew, other than the arbitration date, the arbitration hearing date, that from our good friends at Puckpedia. They put out a schedule, and Jaden Struble's actually last on that list, so gives plenty of time for the Struble side and the Canadian side to get that deal done.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that more in just a few minutes, so stick around for that. Brassard has started to get to be a busy place now that August is right around the corner. Who was practicing at Brassard this week? Well, the likes of Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Juraj Slafkovský, Ivan Demidov, Alex Newhook, Patrick Laine, the Jack Eye brothers, the one and only Jaden Struble, Jake Evans, newcomer Joe Valeno, Alex Carrier, and Lucas Candata.
And then maybe this was the give it, like, why is everybody, and we should say there's some players like Suzuki, who we knew he spends all his time in Montreal. Mm-hmm. Demidov said he was staying in Montreal. Patrick Laine the same. But some of those players generally are not in Montreal all summer. And interesting to me that Tyler Toffoli also joined them. And I think that's a clear signal that something's happening. And speculation is that it's the wedding of Nick Suzuki with his fiance, Caitlin Fitzgerald, likely happening this weekend. So we'll have news about that. We'll have news about that next week.
Is it another summer of love?
Summer of love. Yeah. Last year was the summer of love.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait to see if the rumors are true.
And the pictures are still coming out of Patrick Laine's wedding. My goodness.
I don't want to know what their bill was.
It was spectacular. Spectacular.
It was expensive.
Obviously. and I mean, there have been other weddings that we've talked about.
Lavish.
Noah Dobson was one of those, which was... probably pretty expensive too, but it, a little more understated, I would say.
Patrick Laine is a flashy guy.
He's a flashy guy. It was a flashy wedding.
It was a flashy wedding. All right, let's take a quick dip into the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Now, if you have been listening for a while, you know that we try each week to highlight a different Montreal Canadiens prospect to kind of give you an update on how things are progressing with them, particularly the prospects who are not playing in a pro league. We try to keep you up to date. This week, we're talking again about goaltender Quentin Miller. We last talked about Quentin Miller back in March when we told you that after spending last season with the Chilliwack Chiefs in the BCHL, this is after he was in the queue prior to that, that in March he had committed to the University of Denver and was going to be heading into the NCAA route this coming season. Well, this week, the University of Denver Pioneers head coach David Carl published an article, Rick, about their 10 incoming freshmen for this year. So naturally, young goaltender Quentin Miller was included.
Yeah. And we remember talking about him. He had an injury early last season. Didn't catch up with the Chilliwack Chiefs until halfway through the season in the BCHL. It was kind of a curious move, him having spent, previously all of his junior career in the queue with the Remparts and Rimouski. But he played really well, a good playoff run for him with Chilliwack, and then attracted interest from the University of Denver. You mentioned head coach David Carl. David Carl's probably, there was some surprise that he wasn't named an NHL coach, preferred to stay with University of Denver a little bit longer, probably regarded as the best coach outside of the NHL, certainly in the collegiate ranks. Denver has 10 incoming freshmen, and they put an introductory article, and of course Quentin Miller was part of that. We remember Quentin Miller being selected by the Canadiens in the fourth round, 128th overall in the 2023 entry draft. He's 6'3". He's got that size that the Canadiens like at the goaltending position, 185. And in the profile that they prepared for him, they talk about their stats. There's how he made his way to Denver. But more interesting, I thought, was they have a whole personal section that he, Quentin Miller, intends to major in business, and he wants to win, wants to play in the NHL and win the Stanley Cup. Well, that's not all that unusual. He's a music producer, and we talked about that about a year or so ago, that he writes music on his computer, plays guitar, piano, DJs. Favorite TV show, according to them, is The Walking Dead. And a sports guy. He used to play soccer, lacrosse, basketball, tennis, and swim. And then he was asked to provide a quote. I'll let you read the quote. Why did he choose Denver University?
I chose DU because of its incredible hockey program, Quentin Miller says, and the legacy behind it, the history of winning, the way they develop players, and the culture around the team really stood out to me. From the coaching staff to the facilities, everything felt like the right fit and the best place for me to grow on and off the ice. That's what you want to hear.
Absolutely. And he talked about specifically about the coaching, and you're going to find none better at the collegiate ranks. So we wish him well, I think he'll have a pretty good season with the Pioneers this year in Denver.
Absolutely. You may recall that we talked at the beginning of the month around development camp about Canadiens prospect Bogdan Konyushkov. Well, he has now signed a one-year contract extension with Torpedo in the KHL. He had a year left on his current contract, so this will mean that Konyushkov will stay with Nizhny Novgorod through the 26-27 season.
Yeah, so that he won't be eligible to make the move to the NHL until June 1st, 2027. And of course, at the recent development camp, many of the questions he fielded were about the fact that there was only one more year that was remaining on his contract in the KHL, and what was he going to do in a year's time. And it was interesting. He, for some of the questions, he answered outright. For some, he used a translator, one of his fellow development camp attendees. And he kept saying, I don't look ahead. I can't predict the future. And so it's curious, did he know at that time that he was planning on staying an extra year in the KHL? Did his decision to stay have something to do with what he was told by Canadian staff at the camp? We don't know at this point, but it's not a bad thing for him to continue on. Of course, he, with Torpedo, he led the team in minutes played. He, I think, was second in points thereabouts. He's had a really good run with them, and now that's going to be extended a little bit further.
Want to touch quickly, as we're speaking about prospects here, the Athletics, Scott Wheeler did a redraft of the 2022 NHL draft, kind of his thoughts on if we redid the 2022 draft now, knowing what we know now, how would it actually have gone if you knew then what you knew now? And that would be the year. Why is that significant? Well, that's the year that Montreal had the first overall selection. The draft was held in Montreal, and they, to many people's surprise, selected Juraj Slafkovský.
I'm not a big fan of these redraft things. It's a way for those journalists who prepare these ranking lists to do a bit of a mea culpa and say, okay, I was wrong about this player or that player. I was right about this player. Mm-hmm. So in this case, Scott Wheeler's gone and done that. And if he was to rank them again, he projects that Logan Cooley would have been the first overall pick, not Juraj Slafkovský, and that the Montreal Canadiens would have chosen Logan Cooley instead. Just so happens, Logan Cooley, a center. And he talks about the 2022 class, and that that Cooley leads in most of those categories: goals, goals per game, assists per game, points per game, that sort of thing. He said he's the only player in the class who is his team's first line center. And so would that be attractive to the Canadiens right now? Sure. Does that mean that the Canadiens have given up on Juraj Slafkovský? No, of course not. But I think that the time is coming that Slafkovský has he's had moments, but start to put things together and be consistent and consistently show why the Canadiens chose him. Slafkovský, according to Wheeler, in the redraft, he would have been selected third, and that Arizona had that pick.
So Montreal and Arizona swapping.
Yeah, essentially.
I think number two is the interesting one.
It's the most interesting, and there's probably a lot of cheers from Canadiens fans. We know that in that draft, Lane Hutson was a second round pick, number 62 overall. And according to Wheeler, he would take a massive leap, moving up 60 points to 60 ranking slots to the number two pick overall, which was held by New Jersey. And so Lane Hutson has the second overall pick. And it's just because I think everybody was putting so much emphasis on Lane Hutson's size and whether he'd be able to compete in the NHL, make that jump, whether the talent that he had would translate well, and if he could compete against bigger players.
And the Canadians, yeah, got a bargain for him in the second round.
That's right. So good news for the Canadians there.
Shane Wright still falls at number four. Shane Wright falls at number four. And remember, it was everyone, like Shane Wright was supposed to be the shoe-in for first overall. And even in the redraft, Scott Wheeler says, nope, he's still not going first overall.
And that's where he went. That's where he stayed. Same for Cutter Gauthier at the number five. That's where he landed and stayed along with Philadelphia. No. But that's where he was picked.
That's right.
I just of note, would put Wheeler has Frank Nazar at number six and moving up from, what was that, 13, I believe. And that was the pick that the Canadians traded to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And they would have had a chance to take Frank Nazar. Now, would you rather have Nazar or Kirby Dach? I think that's a pretty easy question. And again, now he's undersized, but again, you have a center, the Canadians are looking for just that, a second mm-hmm. round center.
The World Junior Summer Showcase, an event that we always like to highlight every year. It is a big deal in not only getting an early look at how the World Junior national teams might shape up, but also it's a great check in and a look in at how some of the top prospects from each country are progressing. So it is underway this year. However, USA Hockey normally hosts this at their arena in Michigan. This year it is being held in Minneapolis in Minnesota. Should remind everyone, well, why would they do that? Well, the World Juniors this year are being held in Minneapolis. So why not have the summer showcase at the same place that the World Juniors will eventually take place? It's going to run through August 2nd at Ritter Arena. That's on the campus of the University of Minnesota. And it's once again, U.S. versus Canada versus Sweden versus Finland.
And the Canadians have three representatives there, LJ Mooney, Team USA, Michael Hage, Team Canada, and Atos Koivu from Team Finland.
So that will be something to watch as that.
And we'll talk about that next week for sure.
Yeah, as that tournament progresses and we see how those guys do. One quick Laval Rocket note. Defenseman Noel Hofemeyer was the final free agent from last year that was left to sign. He also will not be back with the Rocket. He has signed a one-year contract with HK Sochi in the KHL. So we wish him very good luck. Just quick note in terms of general NHL news. Back to The Athletic for another interesting article that came out. This is their 2025 NHL broadcast rankings because it's summertime and we rank all the things in the summertime. And so this time on the chopping block is up for scrutiny are NHL broadcast teams. Ding, ding, ding. As rated by fans. This is not being rated by journalists at The Athletic. These are fan votes. And do you hear I don't know what you hear more coming from the general Montreal area, whether it's cheers or laughter, that the Boston Bruins find themselves all the way at the bottom.
And that's not that's they're very comfortable with being last in terms of their broadcast quality. They were there for years with Jack Edwards. Jack Edwards left this first season that NESN has been without Jack Edwards, and they're still worst broadcast in the league. And so we don't mind including that.
No. So sorry, Boston Bruins. So sorry, Judd Surratt, but That's where you're at, 32nd overall. Some other notable numbers on this list. Coming in at number 14 is a really solid broadcaster, really solid play-by-play guy who has a lot of history with his team. Coming in at number 14 is John Kelly with the St. Louis Blues. Why do we say that this is a notable one? Well, it's because John Kelly just got canned. They are not going with John Kelly anymore, and I think pretty much all of the St. Louis Blues fan base is pretty not happy with this decision.
This is bizarre. This is a bad corporate decision.
Consolidation efforts.
Yeah, they're gonna do a simulcast. So whatever broadcaster appeared, I guess the radio guy is taking over. It's also going to be simulcast on TV, which is a really bad idea because the way you describe a game for TV is different from radio and yep. vice versa. But
there's so much history with John Kelly.
Well, exactly. Dan Kelly got his start with Hockey Night in Canada a million years ago, and then he moved to the States and was for years the best play-by-play guy in the U.S. He was a national U.S. Broadcaster, but did home games most games for St. Louis. Dan Kelly has a very recognizable voice. His son John Kelly has exactly the same voice. So for decades, St. Louis Blues fans have had the same kind of broadcast, and they like it. The Athletic have done these rankings for years, and it was Darren Pang and John Kelly that won or at least were in the top five year after year after, I think it's four or five consecutive years, that they won these broadcast rankings. Pang went elsewhere and
St. Louis let him go as well.
Yeah. And the ratings have dropped, and then, it's going to be amazing to see what their rank is next year. As you said, Blues fans are furious. And I've seen it's a really good broadcast. They have Pronger on the panel and my favorite, Bernie Fedorko. He's always got a few good things to say on the panel. Sad the way things have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw one St. Louis Blues fan say in a summer where they've unveiled a new jersey design for the St. Louis Blues that is supposed to encapsulate tradition, that this particular fan said, this is an odd choice to make when you're trying to capture tradition for the franchise.
Yeah.
Also want to take note of number 11, the Winnipeg Jets, led by none other than former Montreal Canadiens broadcaster Dan Robertson.
Dan Robertson is just, he's outstanding.
Yeah, he is.
Dan Robertson's a great guy. We've talked to him. He's been on the podcast, and we're happy for his success in Winnipeg.
That's right. So who edged him out for the number 10 spot? Well, that would be Brian Mudrick and Frankie Corrado for the Montreal Canadiens broadcast, coming in at number 10.
I've got nothing against Brian Mudrick.
No.
He's just kind of Melba toast. He's not offensive. He's not great. He's just kind of, he's there.
He does an acceptable job.
An acceptable job, which is not,
I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Not good enough for the Montreal Canadiens, given their history of the broadcasters they've had. And I think what drags, Mudrick's fine. I think what drags the broadcast down is the color guys, and Frankie Corrado is just not a fan of Frankie. Mike Johnson is a big homer, and that's tough to listen
that's
to.
Tough to listen to sometimes.
Game after game after game. So, and I know that the RDS folks are happy with the product from Pierre Houde and Marc Denis, but I think, well, I'm not sure. I think this was rating the English broadcast. But they probably got a boost for the fans that like the RDS product.
I would imagine so. Interesting who came in first and second. We'll start with the second place team being the Seattle Kraken, who have managed to put together a tremendous tandem of John Forslund and Eddie Olczyk.
Absolutely. John Forslund, he's probably one of the best U.S.-based play-by-play guys. I really enjoy listening to him and heard a lot of him in the playoffs. Eddie Olczyk, always fascinating, like him as well. And I think they were on the TNT. The TNT does a great job
on their broadcast. TNT does a phenomenal job.
But yeah, the Seattle Kraken, how did they do that?
Yeah.
The other one that surprised me is Utah ended up number three on this list. So two young franchises doing the right thing for their fans.
That's right. And
putting out a high quality broadcast.
So who came in at the top of the list? Who did fans pick number one in the broadcast rankings for 2025? That would be the Detroit Red Wings. Ken Daniels and Mickey Redmond.
And if you've seen their broadcast, you'll understand why.
Absolutely.
Ken Daniels was a former Hockey Night in Canada guy, play-by-play, does a great job. Mickey Redmond, former Montreal Canadian Mickey Redmond, and of course he was a Red Wing as well.
Very entertaining.
He's very entertaining. He's absolutely, and he just says whatever's on the top of his mind, and it's usually quite amusing.
Yeah, it usually is. It's one thing I like to do. I do it with the AHL broadcast as well as the NHL broadcast. Sometimes it's interesting to listen to the broadcast of the opposing team, whoever the Habs or the Laval Rocket are playing against, because you get a little bit of a different perspective of the team that you cover when you listen to their opposition call the game. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun to get to listen to some of these guys that we just talked about once in a while. And yeah, it's very fun. All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. Coming up next is going to be our big topic segment. That's when we are finally opening the Habs mailbag, digging in, reaching in, pulling out some great questions that you've sent in over the past couple of months, and trying to provide the answers that you are demanding about the Canadiens 2025-26 rosters. So don't go anywhere. We are going to get into it in just a moment. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, email us at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com with "Join our team" in the subject line. We can't wait to hear from you.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. Feel free, if you are on X, give me a follow over there if you'd like. You can find me at the handle @FlyersRule. And of course, my co-host and president and founder here at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens, here in the studio with me. You definitely want to be following him on X because he runs our overall Rocket Sports Twitter account, which gives you everything that we do, all of the updates about the Canadians that you want, sometimes some opinion stuff as well. Great account to follow at Rocket Sports. And of course, you can also follow this podcast at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And don't forget, while you're doing that kind of following, what takes even less time is to just subscribe to the podcast. Whether you're listening on a podcast platform or you're watching on YouTube, it takes just a second for you to hit that subscribe button. Also, only takes a second for you to hit the share button and just share this episode with your social media followers on whichever platform you choose, or choose them all if you have accounts on all of them. It takes almost no effort on your part, but it does wonders for us, and we would appreciate it very much if you enjoy the program to please share it with your followers. All right, so it is time to open up the Rocket Sports mailbag and dive in to answer some questions from our listeners. We really enjoy getting to do these because, you know, we enjoy the topics that we talk about every week, but sometimes it's nice to kind of get a feeling and a pulse for what's really on fans' minds at the moment. And so we've collected questions from you over the past few weeks. Want to take some time to respond. And really, Rick, from the comments and questions that we've gotten, particularly this past month through kind of the end of June, from the draft on, listeners and viewers seem really impatient for some solidified answers about this year's roster changes. And they want to know about things like what's the plan with Kirby Dach? What's going on with Lane Hutson? We've talked about recently on the show, what are we doing about second line center position? And even the goaltending situation in for the Canadians this year, we have an idea, but we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. And so there was a lot to choose from when you went through everything.
They want clarity. They want to know what's going to happen. They want to be able to, I don't know, buy their jerseys. They want to know. They want to pick games. They want to get things underway. A little bit restless, as I said earlier. And so that I think that if there is a theme, the question's kind of all over the place. But if there is a theme, I think that's where Canadians fans are right now. They want some clarity. And they're a little impatient in getting answers to the roster questions.
All right. Well, without further ado, should we dive in?
Yeah.
Let's start with question number one. This comes from Martin in Laval, Quebec.
Or Martin.
Could be.
We don't know.
We don't know. So Martin or Martin from Laval says, this is a goaltending question. So he says, so Monty has the number one job for the season. Who's his backup? Dobesh or Kakanen? Remember, Kako Kakanen is now a Montreal Canadian. Who is his backup? Dobesh or Kakanen? If I'm listening to Gorton, I think the Habs are going to surprise everyone and name Fowler as the backup.
That would be a surprise.
That would be a big surprise.
That would be a huge surprise.
So Martin wants to know who's backing up Sam Montembeau this season.
So I think just unpacking that a bit, he says listening to Gorton. And of course, Jeff Gorton, Executive VP, Hockey Operations, has been kind of making the rounds. We talked about one of his appearances in the podcast last week. Not on this topic, on a different topic, but he was asked about the Canadiens' goaltending situation, and I guess the headline out of Jeff Gorton's or the way we can interpret it is that he said they've had a discussion about not wanting Sam Montembeau to have such a heavy workload. He said, you know, we don't want Sam to be playing 60 games next year. He played 62 last season. So there was speculation that, okay, somebody's going to have to be playing. We don't know what the split's going to be. And, you know, they may have this this conversation, but they got to rope Marty St. Louis in on this because he would tend to just stick with one guy, and we know Caden Primo sat on the bench for a month, and Dobesh had infrequent starts. So they've got to convince Marty of this. How all that having been said, Jeff Gorton was very complimentary of Jakub Dobesh. And said that during the final stretch, Jakub Dobesh came in and I don't know if he said exactly that without Dobesh we wouldn't have made the playoffs, but it's clear that that was the implication. And it's clear that had Dobesh not won some big games, went on that five-game winning streak when he got his debut, and then later in the season, he won some big games and... and got the Canadians, helped get the Canadians into the playoffs. Of course, he was pressed into duty when Sam Montembeau had an injury in the playoffs, and he won his first playoff game, as we said last week, something Sam's been unable to do. Mm-hmm. So I think they would like to get Dobish. Dobish impressed the Canadians. I think they would like to get Dobish more work this year. And that the plan is probably that Kapokakinen starts in Laval and provides mentorship to Fowler. And that's how it'll go, unless, you know, the play will dictate their decisions. Also, training camp will, to some extent, dictate their decisions. Mm-hmm. Now, what about this business about Fowler as a backup? I don't think it's going to happen at the beginning of the season. Sorry, no. Martin. I don't think we're going to see that happen at the beginning of the season. However, Jeff Gorton did say that he was very impressed with Jacob Fowler going into Laval at the end of his college season, making some great starts, playing in the playoffs because Caden Primo got called up. So they are very impressed with the poise and confidence in a Jacob Fowler, and at some point, I expect, as Jeff Gorton says, that you're going to see him next season with the Montreal Canadiens.
Hmm, that would be interesting, and I think that would be pretty exciting. I think fans would be excited to see, at least at the very least, would like to see Fowler just get his feet wet and see what he can do. I also think that I think he'll be coming in raring to go to just take things over in Laval as well. So I think all of that'll be very interesting. And I truly believe Dobesh does deserve to get a fair number of starts this year. And we'll see how all that plays out. All right, our next question comes from, okay, apparently everybody wants to, first one was either Martin or Martin. We don't know. This could be either Louis or Louis. We don't know. He is also from Quebec. He's from Rigaud, Quebec.
Rigaud.
He says, I've been waiting all month for Lane Hutson's new contract to be announced. Should I be worried?
Hmm. Well, Louis, we're going to say, don't be worried.
Don't be worried.
At the end of season media availability, I think it was clear that Ken Hughes said that they're in no rush. If I was Lane Hutson, I wouldn't be in any rush either. Kent Hughes has had a way with, you know, he talked about the salary structure. I think that's out the window now, with Noah Dobson's contract, and the contracts that came in, that players had signed elsewhere. But I think that Lane Hutson's contract is going to be well above, you know, it was all supposed to be below Nick Suzuki. It's going to be above that. Mm-hmm. And I would say should be above Noah Dobson as well. Noah Dobson at 9.5. Lane Hutson, I think, is fine betting on himself. I mean, he had a spectacular season and Calder winner and all that. But he probably figures he can have a better season next year. So, yes, Lane Hutson was eligible as of July 1st to sign a new contract extension. But, you know, there's lots of time to get that done. I don't think anybody's in any rush at all, and you certainly shouldn't be worried.
No. All right, question number three in this round of the Habs mailbag is coming from Evan, who is from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. And it's actually not for either of us.
All right, then.
It's not for us. He's 8-8. Apparently, we are chop liver because he says, hey, Doc Morris, Yes, that's right. If you are new around these parts, we have a resident
medical specialist.
Yeah. His name is Dr. Stephen Morris. Joins us on the show whenever there are medically related things, injuries and so forth to talk about. And so Evan has a question for Doc Morris, who we know is listening. Hello, Doc Morris. He says, how do you explain Hudson's massive growth spurt over the summer? Have you seen the pics? Apparently everybody has seen the pics.
Apparently everybody's seen the pictures.
And there was an uproar.
Yeah. They appeared on a Bauer camp, and a Bauer employee had put these on his Instagram, and it's that Bauer employee with Nick Suzuki on one side of him and Cole Caulfield and Lane Hudson on the other side. And Lane Hudson is towering over Cole Caulfield, and at least equal to Nick Suzuki in height. Now, you know, the way pictures are taken, it could be a little deceiving. But the other thing that you notice if you've seen that picture is that Lane Hudson seems to have bulked up as well.
Stockier.
So, yeah, yeah. And again, at least the size of a Nick Suzuki. Now, and take all of these measurements with a grain of salt, because mm-hmm. there is a little bit of fiddling that goes on before they're published on websites. That's the way it's been. That's the way it's been for many years. But you have on the Canadiens website from last season, Cole Caulfield, 5'8", 175. You have Lane Hudson at just 1 inch taller, 5'9", and 160 pounds. And you have Nick Suzuki at 5'11", 207. So if Lane Hudson is looking almost the same size of Nick Suzuki, there's something going on here. And either he's added weight, maybe there's been a height change, maybe something has happened here, or it's just the way the perspective of the picture has been taken. I don't know that I'm anyway.
This is how we know Habs fans are impatient, because yes, these are the types of details we're obsessing about at the end of July.
Doc Morris, Steve Morris, a medical specialist for Rocket Sports, over to you. But we're going to be finding out soon enough what kind of stats that the Canadians arrive at camp with. Growth spurt, we'll talk to Doc Morris and get you an official medical answer. Kind of a fun question there from Evan in Prince Albert.
Well, people love, we do get a great amount of feedback when Doc Morris does appear on the show. People love having that kind of, you know, real, even though he's not one of the Canadians' physicians, he's not talking directly from experience about each player's case. He provides a wealth of knowledge just in general about the types of injuries certain players have, or what the typical or average recovery or procedure is like. And it's just a really great wealth of information. And so for question number four, we're going to hear Doc Morris referenced again. He's a popular guy this summer. This one comes from one of our American listeners or viewers. His name is Matthew from Plattsburgh, New York. So just over the border from Quebec. He says, longtime listener, first time caller. You know what he means, yeah. Which is a great line. Great line. He says, the entire Habs fan base has written off Kirby Doc and his potential at filling the 2C role. How's his rehab coming along? Matthew then goes on to ask, you know, is Doc's situation similar to Caulfield's return from surgery, where we needed to be patient? He says, I'll admit it. I was on board the whole trade Caulfield train when he was having a bad season after his surgery. And Habs fans wouldn't admit it now, but that train was awfully full. He says, I listened to your show, What's Wrong with Cole Caulfield, and I totally changed my mind. I loved what Doc Morris said on that pod, and he was right. So maybe all we need is a bit of patience with Kirby?
Boy, there's a lot there.
There is. And thank you for listening to old episodes and all of it.
Yeah, or remembering episodes, however it worked out. Doc Morris, as you said, appears from time to time when there are issues. And in particular, the episode he's talking about, What's Wrong with Cole Caulfield? Everybody was asking that question. Mm-hmm. This goes back to December 2023. If you go to CanadiansConnection.fm, you can find all of our episodes, complete catalog, and What's Wrong with Cole Caulfield. Was one of those episodes where Doc Morris came in, and it was we were talking about the fact that Cole Caulfield, his precision was gone, his velocity was gone, his release was gone, and would he ever get it back? And Canadians fans in December 2023, believe it or not, Matthew's absolutely correct. They were all about, we better trade Caulfield now because he's never going to be that 40-goal scorer. We need to get value back. The surgery, it's clear that he had that. It was a shoulder surgery. And Doc Morris came in, went through and explained the surgery, talked about NHL case studies, talked about how it would take a year or two to get back to baseline, but that it was possible to get back to baseline, and preach patience. In this case, Matthew totally changed his mind after listening to that podcast. We know that even after that, Caulfield's season didn't necessarily improve all that much. This is the season prior to last. And so some were saying, Doc Morris, really? But last season, mm-hmm. back to normal, mm-hmm. almost. And so there's still, and that was from a medical perspective, predictable. Now, is there a parallel between that situation and Kirby Doc? Well, I'm not a medical guy, and again, we can pass this on to Doc Morris, but we're talking about two different, very different injuries, mm-hmm. two very different surgeries, mm-hmm. and the fact that Kirby Doc, this the knee surgery wasn't his first, second surgery, same place. What I can tell Matthew and the rest of you is not the medical side, but Matthew says, how's his rehab coming along? And from the Canadians, we know that they are happy with his rehab. And various members of the Canadians have mentioned that he's looked good at Broussard. They do monthly check-ins with him to see how that's going. And one of the concerns, even at camp last year, was that not only was Doc coming off surgery, he came to camp and his conditioning wasn't very good. I think that they're going to be much happier with his conditioning when he comes to camp this year. So Matthew's right. Don't write him off yet. But I think that the Canadians are going to have a much shorter leash. Again, referencing Jeff Gorton, he said the onus is on Kirby Doc. He's got to come to camp. He's got to be ready. He's got to take that second C job or second line job, top six job, and that, you know, the Canadians aren't going to have patience for him this coming year. I think that's clear. You heard Kent Hughes talk about they haven't given up on Kirby and that they still hope that he's able to reach his potential, and that potential is what they traded for. So There's a bit of a mixed answer there. And the medical side, again, we can refer this on to Doc Morrison. Maybe he needs to make an appearance this summer to answer some of these questions. But I think Kirby Doc, the stopwatch is running. He's going to have to prove himself come camp.
Oh, I think training camp. I feel like I say this every year in recent years, but training camp, I think, is going to be intense. Competition between guys who have something to prove and guys who are looking to promote themselves. All right. Question number five comes from Cornwall, Ontario, by a gentleman by the name of Trevor. And so this is where we're going to talk about Jaden Struble. He says, what's the holdup with Struble's contract? I can't see the Habs letting this go to arbitration.
No, I typically, most of these, it's rare to see a case go to arbitration. And because there's usually a bad taste is left in the mouths of both sides after one of those arbitration hearings. And we described that last week. The Canadians in particular are reluctant to let things go to arbitration. So I expect we're going to hear something this week about some sort of an agreement before that arbitration date of August 3rd. Struble's 23 years old. Why is it taking so long? Well, I think that he believes that he has some leverage. I don't know if he's correct on that. I don't know if the Canadians see it that way. But he completed his entry-level contract, and it's his right. He has the right to take it to arbitration. I guess it was interesting to me. First, I think you'll acknowledge that Kent Hughes usually gets what he wants. And in many cases, he's gotten team-friendly contracts. I expect the same here, particularly because Struble doesn't have much leverage. I thought it was really interesting. John Sedgwick, we talked about him last week. He went out of his way. He was asked a question about prospects, and he went out of his way to talk about Engstrom, and mentioned you're going to see Engstrom sooner than most people think. Mm-hmm. Why would he say that? And nothing against Engstrom, and he's progressing well. But why would John Sedgwick go out of his way? And these things don't happen by accident. They don't arrive at an interview and decide what they're going to say. For the Montreal Canadiens, messages are carefully calculated. That's just the way it is. So was this a shot across the bow? Was this a message to the Struble camp? We've got Adam Engstrom.
We've got
other options. If you want to play hardball, was that the way? It might be the case. Anyway, all of that to say, is going to be resolved within the week anyway.
One way or another.
Yeah, we agree with Trevor that it's unlikely to go to arbitration.
Oh, all right. Question number six comes from Jerry from the 514. So he's from Montreal.
Yep.
He says, I'm seeing a lot of Habs roster projections with Laine off the first power play unit. How do you replace his 15 power play goals? He wants answers, darn it.
Well, Patrick Laine is going to play on the power play, whether it's the first or second unit. I think it's going to be the second unit. Do you replace? Do you need to replace 15 goals? Like, why is he getting zero?
If he's on the second power play unit.
He's going to get some goals. Maybe not 15, but I think that one of the things, it was really interesting that Chris G, that's our senior writer for Rocket Sports. And yes, we're not, the two of us don't make up Rocket Sports in total. We have Doc Morris. We talked to Mike Raschel and his opinion last week. Chris G.
Patrick Williams.
We talked about our Chris G had a, he's been putting out some things about roster projections. And one of the things he put out on X this week was Cole Caufield finished second on the team behind Patrick Laine with 10 power play goals. 10 power play goals for Caufield, 15 for Patrick Laine. 7 of the 10 power play goals by Cole Caufield were scored before Patrick Laine played his first game as a Hab. Interesting, because there was a lot of talk that that Cole Caufield's favorite spot on the power play, the shooting from the left circle, that was taken over by Patrick Laine, and that affected Cole Caufield. In fact, Cole Caufield deferred at times to Patrick Laine. So why not split them up? Couldn't do that last season. They didn't have other options. They can this season. So if you have Cole Caufield going for the entire season, you have Patrick Laine on a different unit going for the entire season, what's wrong with that? And you have new weapons in Demidov on the first power play unit. You've got Noah Dobson as a new weapon on the second unit. You have Zach Bolduc as a new weapon on the second unit. I think on paper, the power play, both power play units look better next season. And the Canadians have legitimate threats on the second power play unit, including Patrick Laine. So that's how you make up the goal scoring.
Okay. If the Habs, we were pleasantly surprised that once Alex Burrows was not running the power play anymore, the Habs power play was a bit rejuvenated last year. I'd be all for watching it shoot farther up the rankings for power play across the NHL even more this season. So we'll see how that shakes out. Next up, we have a question from Shane in Moncton, New Brunswick. And he simply says, I'm sold on the Kadri to Habs rumors. Make it so, Kent. So less of a question and more of a statement.
All right. Maybe we'll just leave it there. Make it so.
Make it so.
Kent.
A little Star Trek.
Yeah. And this is being fueled. The Kadri to Montreal rumors are not going away. There was an article this week on Sportsnet from Ryan Dixon. The article was titled 5 Potential Trade Destinations for Flames Center Nazem Kadri. What's the number one destination? What's the number one team? The Montreal Canadiens. And he starts saying the Habs entered the offseason with a throbbing need at 2C and have been linked to just about any player who could possibly fill that hole. He said that the Canadiens have picks and prospects, the kind that Calgary would be looking for in order to get a deal for Kadri done. And he goes on and on. And he said, don't worry about the fact that as a Leaf, Kadri got booed in the Bell Center. He would appreciate that level of passion. So he said the only thing holding the Canadiens back is that if they're still hoping for Sidney Crosby, then that fills that whole other rumor mill there. So maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know Ryan Dixon. Is he writing for clicks? I don't know. But there's certainly a lot of smoke about Kadri to Habs. If there's so much smoke, why hasn't it happened now? We talked about the coming up on September 1st about the Canadiens' change to the cap situation and how money can be freed up with Carey Price. I'm not going to go through that again. We talked about that last week. That's maybe why they would wait 4 months, so make it so Kent in due time. Yeah. I guess I'll amend that for Shane. I expect that these 2C rumors and who's going to fill them are going to go on for, they've done well in July. Let's continue them on for August as well.
Absolutely. Boy, a really great variety of questions coming in from all over the place, from Habs fans wanting to know different kinds of things about the Canadiens, have things on their minds about the Canadiens. Thank you to everyone who has submitted questions, whether we were able to include yours in this edition of the mailbag or not. Don't forget, if listening to this has made you say, well, wait, I have a question that I want your take on, well, send us a text, 5853-ROCKET, or drop us a comment on YouTube or on social media. Maybe you have something that you want to say in response to one of the questions that you did hear from our listeners. Feel free to send your comments in about that as well. And we couldn't end this segment without a Canadiens Connection question of the week for you to answer for us. And so here's what we want to know this week. Are Habs fans in general being too impatient at this juncture in the summer? Or do you think the front office has been a little too quiet? And taking that one step further, what would you do differently? Send us a text, 5853-ROCKET. Comment on YouTube. Hit us up on social media, at Habs Connection. Are Habs fans being too impatient, or is this front office too quiet this summer? What would you do differently? I think we're going to hear some very varied answers on this one, and we'll pick the best ones to read on next week's show for sure. In the meantime, we are going to take our last break here on this edition of the Canadiens Connection podcast, and coming back, we've got a couple of great responses for you to last week's fan question of the week that you're going to want to hear. So stick around. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. Drop us an email at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity.
And welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Again, this is episode 358. So whether you've been here, whether this is your first time here or your 358th time here or somewhere in between, we're certainly glad to have you here. Don't forget, we are here all year long. That includes the entire off season, all summer. You can count on us not going anywhere. You can still have a weekly place to get all of your latest Habs news and talk and analysis, and that's right here. So if you haven't done so already, please take a moment to hit subscribe either on your favorite podcast platform or on our YouTube channel or both. And also don't forget, we do have a new home for our written content this season, and that would be over at hockeyhotstove.com. So be sure you head over there, click on the Canadiens logo on the homepage. That'll take you to the Canadiens coverage, which our team is happy to be responsible for over at hockeyhotstove.com, as well as jump into the fan forums as well. Great conversations happening every single day in the fan forums, not just about the Canadiens, but about all teams in the NHL. So absolutely make your voice heard over there. Don't forget to send us your answers to this week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. Are Habs fans being too impatient, or is this front office too quiet this summer? What would you do differently? Looking forward to hearing what you have to say about that. And we really enjoyed a lot of the responses that we got from last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week, which was, if you had to guess, what is the next big move that Kent Hughes is planning? And we had a couple of we had a bunch of great responses. We've selected two of them this week to share with all of you. These both come from our YouTube channel. Rick, why don't you go ahead and take the first one?
This one comes from at Bushido Dog on YouTube. Very simple. He says, "You're underselling Valeno. He has over 300 games at age 25. He's saying no one expects bottom Sixers to score 60 points.
Okay. That's fair.
I don't think we were underselling. I think we mentioned what Joe Valeno, why they would go out and get him and what he brings. He brings some size. He brings speed. He's good defensively. He's a left shot center, which they were looking for, and that fills a need. But I think you got, with all due respect, I think you got the cart before the horse here. No, turn that around. If you're scoring 60 points, should you be playing the bottom six? No one expects 60-point players to play the bottom six. I think would be better there. And I think what we're trying to get across is that I don't think there's any debate on it that Joe Valeno has been, his career, he's only 25 years old, has been a disappointment so far. He's a first round pick from 2018. He had that 104 point season in Drummondville. He was expected to produce offense coming into the NHL, and he hasn't been able to do that, whether it's a pace thing, whether it's and when I say pace, he's got speed. It's kind of processing pace, hockey sense, those kinds of things, which people have been critical about. His numbers have been underwhelming and perhaps a disappointment at the NHL level. So I think we presented both sides, what he can do and certainly what he cannot do.
We certainly appreciate the comment. Mm-hmm. We love when people even want to engage in some friendly debate. No one is ever asking you to agree with everything that we have in terms of our opinions. We're happy to talk through all of it. Our other response that we want to read today is from at @centerheist7948. He says, "Great show, Amy and Rick. Always interesting. I think Rocket Stevens nailed it. I'm in agreement that the Habs may..."
This is going to stick, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah. I think you're stuck with it now.
Yeah.
He says, "I'm in agreement that the Habs may be waiting to unload the Price contract and then make a big move at the trade deadline. However, I think we may have to unload Struble in a package deal. I love the kid, but I think with Engstrom and Reinbacher being close, the Habs don't have room for him," meaning don't have room for Struble. "But yes, I think once they free up that contract money, they'll do something big, hopefully a second line center."
Hmm.
Good comment.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Good comment. Thank you so much for your replies. Get your answers in now. If you are watching on YouTube, I should mention, I said feel free to leave your answers in the comments. If you're not watching on YouTube and you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel and comment there and get in the conversations in the comments there, you can find our YouTube channel over at InsideTheCanadians.com. InsideTheCanadians.com takes you straight to our YouTube channel. It may have been a quiet news week for the Canadians in general, but it's there is always plenty for us to talk about here on the Canadians Connection podcast. That's where we're dedicated to being here each and every week for you throughout the summer, just to give you some things to chew on week in and week out as you wait maybe impatiently for training camp and opening night to arrive. And you can bet that we will be up again next Saturday on tap on August 2nd with the next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast, bringing you the latest news, maybe a new Struble contract, maybe even more than that. We'll have to wait to see. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again next Saturday right here on the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @RocketSports.